Good evening. We are so glad that every one of you is here tonight. Did you love this chapter? I can't really think of really any hard names in this chapter, hard people to understand. Like this was a great one. I know you agree. And we have a special treat tonight. Sarah Fusco is going to teach us. And she is a high school teacher. She loves the Lord. She loves his word. She just has a great story of her own life. And that will really just compel you just to know God's faithfulness, and can't wait for that to happen tonight. I want to remind you one more thing before she starts. We have spring break next week, so if you come next Thursday, we will not be here. I hope all of you are going to be like on a beach or a mountaintop somewhere. I will not be, but we will look forward to seeing you week after next. So we have, after tonight, we have two more great weeks of this study, so just encourage you to finish strong because they will be well worth it. So let me pray and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you for this amazing chapter in your word. We know you fully because of what you've revealed to us about yourself in your word, Lord. And this is a great chapter where we really get to know who you are. Lord, I just pray that as we listen tonight, that we'll be able to put our own story into this chapter. Lord, thank you for Sarah, and I pray that you will take the words that you have given her and make them powerful. May she be your voice to speak into the hearts of every one of us, Lord. Thank you for your power, your mercy, your love for us, your care for us. And Lord, I pray all these things in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Anne. I appreciate that. Well, hello. I'm really excited to be here, and I'm very thankful I got this chapter and not last week's chapter. Thank you, Anne, for doing that one. Please excuse my rough voice. Last Wednesday, a little over a week ago, I woke up to absolutely no voice. I mean, I couldn't squeak. Like, there was nothing. And how do you call the doctor and make an appointment, right? It's like Morse code? I mean, how do you get a doctor's appointment? So I texted a friend, right? Phone a friend. Well, I texted a friend and I said, hey, I have absolutely no voice. Can you call my doctor and make an appointment? She's like, maybe. Will they let me? I said, I don't know. Try it. Here's my birthday. You know, try and get me an appointment. And she did, and it was great. I walk in and I have this piece of paper, and I've written on this piece of paper, hi, I have no voice. My name is Sarah Fusco. My birth date is, and I have a 10:50 appointment with Dr. Hitchkey. And she's like, okay. So literally, I am writing out everything I need to ask him. Okay, is it contagious? And he's laughing at me, and I'm laughing silently back at him. But anyways, I'm thankful to have what I do have, and we're going to make it through today. So I'm super excited about 2 Samuel 22 and really what we see from David in this chapter. What I love about 2 Samuel overall is just the life of David and how it mirrors our own. So we're really going to see that today. And clearly knowing God's truth, David recognizes God's hand and praises him. Right? He saw what God was doing in his life. He knew God's truth. And because of those things, he praised him. That's really what we're going to dig into tonight. So this song, it's a song that David has written, is after he has been pursued by Saul. Saul's trying to kill him. He's got all these other enemies that are trying to kill him and trying to get rid of him. And he is victorious, right? And so this is when that song is written. If you look at it, it actually mirrors Psalm 18. It's almost word for word. So if you want to read this story again, read Psalm 18. Basically the same thing. There's three main points, and I've already touched on them. Truth, God's hand, and praising him. And so that's really what we're going to look at. On the central truth that I just want you to walk away with today is that we are never alone. God is always with us and always for us. Don't miss that. He's always with you. He's always for you. So he should be praised no matter what, even in the hard times. And we're going to talk about some of those hard times and how it's maybe hard to praise him, but it's exactly what David did and what we're called to do and what we can do. So how do we know that he is always with us and always for us? And the people said, because the Bible tells us so, right? In his word, it tells us that he's always with us and he's always for us. If we look at David, it says that David knows the truth about God. And he does, right? He opens up in the first seven verses and he's talking about my rock, my fortress, my stronghold. These are bold terms. He says that he is my deliverer, my refuge. He is a strength. He is trustworthy. He is praiseworthy. He is powerful. He is my shield. He is a great listener. He hears me. What does that conjure up in your mind? Weak, impotent God or a powerful God? A God who is worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our following him and obeying him. He's worthy of us praising him. And David knew that. So if we look at these words on the screen, is there one that's harder for you than another? For me, it's listener. I kind of struggle with that one. Struggle with knowing that God actually wants to hear from me. I find in my life I don't have a lot of people that ask me questions directly, like, how are you doing? No, like, how are you doing? And I don't have a lot of people that ask me questions about that. And so I often think, well, you know, God's the same. He's not. Praise the Lord. But I often think, does he really care? Does he want to know what's going on in my life? He sees everything. He knows everything anyways. Does he want to hear from me? That's kind of where I struggle with this one. But he does. My prayers don't bounce off the ceiling. He hears every single word. So I find myself focusing on this truth now much more than I ever have. About 14 years ago, I found myself in the midst of a depression, suicidal thoughts, antidepressants, and I'm in counseling. So I counseled with a gentleman by the name of Tom. He was the head pastor at a church I went to in Wichita Falls when I lived there. And I call him Papa. But Tom accepted me as a counseling patient, which was fantastic. And the first thing we did for months was study scripture. Like, I'm at the counselor, right? We studied scripture. He would give me a passage. It might be a short passage. It might be a long passage. But he would give me a passage and say, okay, dig in. We're going to talk about it next week. So I'm like, all right, I'll study that and come back. And it was kind of like the movie Karate Kid, you know, like go paint the fence. You know, I felt like I was painting the fence and waxing the cars. And I'm like, why, what, let's get to it, come on. And one of the verses, it's a little obscure at the time, but is one of the most impactful verses we studied for me was Jeremiah 2:13. And Jeremiah 2:13 says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, number one, the fountain of living water, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Huh? First time I looked at that, I'm like, what is he smoking, right? And so what I learned from that is that I was trying to do it on my own. I was not seeking after God's will, his living water. I was trying to make a vessel, a cistern, that would hold water that I created, and it would not, right? It's broken, chipped away. I see David doing this too, right? There's times in his life where he's really running after God and asking God, and there's times in his life where he's not. He has lost his focus, and he is trying to do it on his own. How did that work out for him? Another one we went to is Psalm 139. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I was intricately woven. I was knit together in my mother's womb. And what that really spoke to me was that I had worth. I had inherent worth because I was a child of God. He made me. Not because of what everybody else tells me. Not because of anything that happens to me. But because God says I'm worthy. And another thing I struggled with was I was a mistake. Everything about me was a mistake. I was a mess up, whatever. And this truth showed me that God doesn't make mistakes. If God wove me together, God's perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. He didn't make a mistake with you. You are put together the way God intended for your story to be written. And he's writing it. And trust him in that. A little bit of my story is don't have a great relationship with my family. Haven't ever, really. When I was 8 years old, I kind of like ended communication with my mom on any level of depth whatsoever. And so when I sat down with Tom, and actually another counselor previous to Tom had told me this as well, said, okay, the scars from the sexual abuse in your past are nothing compared to the scars from your relationship with your mom. I'm like, that makes me feel like I'm kind of messed up, right? I mean, sexual abuse is like bad, but the scars from that were nothing compared to the scars I had from my mom. When I was 8, I sat down at the kitchen table, dining room table with my mom. If I was an artist, I'm not. I could paint you a picture of what that room looked like. The table, the chairs, the window, outside the window, the hutch, the, you know, everything that was in the hutch. I could paint you a picture to this day. And that was 32 years ago, okay? And I sat down and I was telling her all the things that were bothering me. I don't know what was bothering an 8-year-old. I was in second grade, right? So I'm pouring my heart out to my mother. I'm crying and I'm sharing with all this with her. And she, at the end, when I finally stopped, she goes, she told me basically that my emotions were wrong and I needed to grow up. I was 8, right? I'm really good at learning lessons, and so I did. I stopped being emotional, and I stuffed everything. And from that, for a very long period of time, over 20 years, that haunted me. And I didn't share anything with my mom because it was wrong for me to do that. And so I learned very quickly. And so those scars made me think of who I was. It took away my self-worth. It made me doubt that I was lovable and that I mattered. And so Tom knew exactly where to start. He took me to Scripture to teach me the truth about those things. I am worthy. I am lovable. Right? And so, you know, that's where we have to start. And that's where David started. Look at this Scripture. He starts on the truth. And the truth is, God is all you need. God is all you need. God is all I need. Other things are lovely to have, but God is all I need. So, what truth about God do you struggle the most to believe? What truth do you struggle the most to believe? Maybe, can you say he's your rock, your fortress, your deliverer? Can you honestly say that to yourself? He's your refuge, your savior? He makes you matter. Maybe that he's not present when he really is. Maybe it's his hesed love. Maybe it's his loyal love that you really struggle to grasp, that it's there all the time no matter what. Think about David, man. God is consistent. Through 2 Samuel, he has been consistent the entire time, has he not? Maybe it's that you're forgiven, fully forgiven, washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. What is it that you're struggling to believe the most? What truth? Whatever it is, whatever truth that you are struggling to believe and whatever you're believing in its place, know that it is a lie from the pit of hell. That God does not want you to believe that. God wants you to believe his truth. And when you replace his truth with anything else, it's Satan pulling away. And don't let him do that. Don't give him that. Believe it. When is it the hardest to believe that God hears you? I told you that that's the one I struggle with, is that he wants to hear from me, right? When is it the hardest to believe that? When the storm is raging? Maybe that's actually easier. When it's quiet and peaceful? Maybe you don't talk to him as much. When is it hardest for you to believe that God hears you? Think about that. And if you're stuck here, if you're stuck believing a lot of lies, it's okay. God loves you. He wants you to know his truth. He wants you to progress down the road to knowing him more. Do the work. Put in the time. If I don't spend time in his word every day, man, my day does not go right. It may outwardly go right, but it doesn't go right. So do the work. Spend that time. God is all you need. I have to keep my eyes open. I have to see the truth. And when I see the truth, I see his handiwork. So part two is David sees how God's hand has worked in his life. The Lord saw David and everything about him. And the Lord took action, right? Who won the battle? David? No, the Lord. The Lord won the battle for David. Okay? He did lots of things. It talks about his anger, and thunder and lightning and the earth quaking, right? All of these attributes, all these actions that God took. On the next slide, it lists us several words that come from this. Kindness, his support, protected. He threw arrows, right? God did all of these things for you in your life. Can you see them? Do you recognize them? David did. David made a point of it. He's telling us right now. So if we look at these attributes of God, these actions of God, these truths about God, why? Why does he do it? God delivers us because he delights in us. Look at verse 20 if you've got your word open. God delivered us because he delights in us. Do you understand that God delights in you? How awesome is that? He delights in you. He looks at you and he smiles. How many of you think God looks at you and he frowns or he sighs, right? He looks at you and he smiles. He delights in you. The word tells us so. Man, that's so good. And the Lord rewarded David for his righteousness. Verse 21. David was righteous. Okay, let's rewind a second. Okay. 2 Samuel, right? We've been talking about Bathsheba. Oh, and the murder of Uriah. Okay. And, Amnon and Tamar, and he did nothing. Yes, yes. And then Absalom. Should I go on? Right? But God said, you are righteous. Why? Genesis 15:6. Abram believed in the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Romans 22 takes that same verse and quotes it. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Imputed, ascribed, attributed, given, credited, righteousness. So if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are righteous. Right? David was righteous because he believed. If you don't believe, then I can't say that about you. But what a beautiful picture. God sent his only son to die for us on the cross, and not just to die, but be raised again on the third day. And through that, we are justified. The verse ends, who was delivered up, he was crucified because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. He was raised so that we could be justified, so that we could be called righteous. Do you know him? If you don't, I beg you do. I pray you do. It's a step, and it's the most important decision that you can make in your life, to give your life to Christ, to accept his free gift in place of all of your filthiness. God takes it willingly. I pray you know that. And if you don't, I pray that you would talk to one of us, one of the leaders, somebody in your group, and that we might help you come to that decision. And the last thing in this section is that God saw David as blameless and pure. Okay, rewind again. Hold on. Bathsheba, Uriah. Yeah, blameless and pure. Where does that come from? Christ, right? That's where we get that. When God looks at you, I said he smiles because he's looking at his son. When he looks at you, he sees his son. His son has paid that price. You know, when you get that bill and the bill says paid in full, Christ is our propitiation. He has paid our bill in full. You don't like tend to look at the bill. You're like this big red stamp that says paid in full. And you're like, yeah. And that's what God does when he looks at us. Christ is that stamp of paid in full. So David, God saw David as blameless and pure. That's why he did these things. All of these actions he took, that's why he did it. Because he delights in David, and he delights in you, and he delights in me. You know, I love to be able to look back in my story and be able to see God's hand. I encourage you to do that. Take some time to see God's hand in your life. You know, when I was in college, I played college soccer. It was fantastic. I loved it. And I was very thankful for it because it helped pay for my college education. But I didn't have money outside of that. My family did not support me financially. And as a college soccer player, a pre-med major, didn't end up there, all those things on my schedule, I didn't have time to work. And so I didn't have a job. No job, no money. No money, no food. And my junior year, I had three of my fellow teammates walk into my dorm room and hand me an envelope full of cash and gift cards to a grocery store. That was God's hand. Some of them didn't even know the Lord, but that was God's hand. He uses anybody. I saw him, I've been engaged once in my life, not married, and I was only engaged for about 8 hours. So, you know, I said that sexual abuse was part of my past, and I was really looking for love. It's what I was. I wanted love. I didn't have love for my family. I wanted love somewhere. Started dating a guy. He proposed on Valentine's Day. So cliche. Really? Come on. And that night, I mean, ugly crying. This is not, I don't think I've ever ugly cried like this before. And I mean, I was totally overwhelmed. And the Lord just showed me, this is not the man I have for you. This is not the path I have for you. So I broke up with him that night. He left school and joined the Navy. But God's hand was there, right? He had let me go down that path, but he stopped me. It was clear as day. You know, he's provided friends for me that are closer than family. I spend Christmas with friends every year, and I love it. And do I wish I had my own family to spend it with? Absolutely. But would I trade all that God has blessed me with through other people? No. And I could go on and on and on. So many poor choices that God has saved me from. I hope that you'll look in your life and just see how God has delivered you. So God is our deliverer. God delivers us because he delights in us. And here's some questions for you. How has God delivered you this week, this month, this year? Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's safety. Maybe it's timing. Right? Maybe it's the timing on something specific in your life, timing that we probably don't like, right? But his timing is perfect. We have those moments in our life. Some are more apparent than others. A couple years ago, I was pulling up to an intersection, and it was that yellow light. Ooh, I think I can make it. And something said stop. I'm like, all right, so I stopped. I mean, barreling through that intersection, cross traffic, somebody ran a red light. I would have been T-boned. I mean, I would have been right in the middle of the intersection. It would have been very ugly. And, you know, something little like that, God just said stop. Okay, I'll listen. Maybe it's somebody that walks up and gives you money. Maybe it's just somebody that gives you a smile or a hug. Maybe that's God delivering you and providing for you through that. Could be big ways, could be small ways. And in what situation recently did you need to be reminded that you are delighted in by the Lord? Delighted in by the Lord. For me, I've been sick for, gosh, a little over a week now. And I'm single. I live at home by myself. I don't have any roommates. I don't have any pets. I'm not home enough. I am a teacher. I teach high school science. Love it. Ninth graders are my favorite age ever. I know I'm weird. It's okay. But I also have a small business on the side that I've got a gym up in Frisco and train kids and all that comes with that. And so I'm very, very busy. Well, I'm not used to being downtime, which God uses sickness to make me rest, which I wish I would learn to rest more often so I don't have to be sick to rest. That would be wise. But God has provided that time to rest for me, and I just want to be thankful for that. You know, be reminded that he delights in me and he wants my best. And so even if he has to make me sick to get my best, you know, he's going to do it. So what do we do with his truth and his deliverance? Hopefully we praise him, right? That's where we should end up. So David praises and gives thanks to God. David, it's not always just saying thank you, right? David says that the Lord is a lamp and enlightens our darkness. Speaking truth back to God. Man, that pleases him. That is thankful. That is showing appreciation for what he has done and what he has done in your life up to this point, today, this moment. Our obedience really shows that. He says that God's way is perfect. All of it. His direction, his leading, his discipline, his reproof. His way is perfect. David knew that. The lamp guides us so we can see. David acknowledged that. David acknowledged there's no God or rock except the Lord God. There is none. There's only God. David knew there was no place he would rather be. There's no lap he would rather climb into. No ear he would rather pull on and talk to. And he lived that way. Not all the time, but often. And so praise is a natural outpouring of our acknowledgement of God in our life. Natural outpouring. Are you there? He says, after all of those things, he's talking about his victories, he's talking about his hardships, his enemies, his haters, those people that are striving for his position. Like, David's life wasn't easy, and he's praising the Lord. Says at the end of this section, he talks about the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. He cries out to the Lord and thanks him. I am this day able to praise the Lord for my past. I can praise him for the abuse and the family issues and all of those things because he has redeemed them in my life. He uses them in my life. I have had the great opportunity to mentor a few ladies through the regen process, and yet they still come back to me today to ask for my counsel, which is very humbling and amazing. Because they'll bring me questions Sunday. One of them texts me and said, hey, can we talk? And I said, sure. She's having mom issues. Like, hey, I can talk to you about that, right? Let me tell you how God has redeemed that in my life. Let me show you, let me counsel you some ways that really helped me and worked for me. You know, God has taught me so much through so many different people, and I can praise him for what I have learned and what I can share and pass on. One of them was feeling really dry and distant from God. And I'm like, hey, let me show you what he taught me when I was there. And he's been able to redeem that. You've tragically suffered abuse at the hand of another. Sister, you should know that that is not your fault. That is not God's ultimate plan for you. Let me show you how he used that in my life and how he has redeemed that and how he can redeem it for you. All these things I've had the opportunity to do, I can praise him for that. I can praise him in my present. I'm single, no kids, sometimes lonely, often lonely, right? Especially you stay so busy, it's hard to make those connections, no real family relationships, and I can praise him because I look at my friends who had kids and they ain't got no time, right? I mean, come on, moms, right? You have no time, and I have time.
Amen.
Yeah. And they never go away. Just go away. And so that's been redeemed for me, that I can praise him, I can be content in the middle of this season of my life. Sure, would I love to be married? Absolutely. Would I love to have kids? Absolutely. Most days. But God is using that, and I can appreciate that and praise him for it. I can praise him for my future, and man, that's the easiest one, I think. Because one day I'm going to be with him, because I know him, and I'm trusting in his son. And if you do that as well, then we'll get to have a party in heaven together. But I can praise him for that future. No matter what happens from here until I meet him face to face, it does not matter because I'm going to meet him face to face. And God is in all of it. Praise him. God is worthy of all praise. When did you last spend time thanking God? Was it your prayer today? It doesn't always have to be in prayer. It doesn't have to be in song. It can be in your obedience and your actions. It can be in sharing your heart with somebody because you're sharing his heart with somebody. And he loves that. It's a sweet aroma to him. You're praising him in that moment. Is the posture of your heart a reflection of living in chapter 22? Huh? What's that mean? Well, let's look at 2 Samuel 1 through 21 very briefly, okay? So, all of that's in David's life, right? There's blessing, there's promise, there's forgiveness, there's sin, there's grace, there's consequences, there's pain, there's peace. All those things are in there. That's your life. Right? There's pain. There's promise. There's peace. There's forgiveness. There's pain. And there's some more pain. But there's God and his love, his hesed, loyal love that's always going to be with you. And then in chapter 22, where does David get? He gets to praise. So I encourage you to take your past and put it right there, 2 Samuel 1 through 21. Go back into 1 Samuel if you want to. But I want you to exist in 2 Samuel 22. No matter what pain, no matter what praise, no matter what forgiveness, no matter what storm comes your way, can you exist in 2 Samuel 22, a state of praise and thankfulness because of who God is, his truth, and God's hand in your life? Can you do it? We often get stuck looking at the last thing, right? Whatever that last thing was, we kind of get focused in on it. Recently, I coached the goalkeepers at my school in soccer. That's what I played goalkeeper. And we were in the state semifinals a couple weeks ago. And we were playing the team that has won 26 of the last 27 state championships. So if you can imagine, we weren't expected to win, but we were going to make a good effort at it. So end of the first half, my goalkeeper comes off. We're down 3-0. She had made three mistakes, and that's why we were down. And she walks off the field, and she was in tears. And she was totally distraught and beside herself. It's all my fault. And so I reminded her. I said, where are we? What game are we in? We're in the state semifinals. Yeah. Do you think we would be here if you hadn't played amazing all year? Without you, without what you have done, we wouldn't be here. So let that be the determiner, not those three mistakes. Let the truth of what has happened, let the truth of what God says about you determine how you see yourself, how God sees you, loved, righteous, delightful. Focus on those. So as I close, I wanted to read you a note. I think I wrote it 12 years ago. I really wish I'd written a date on it. I do much better of that now. And it actually lives in Psalm 139, so I can always open my Bible to Psalm 139 without a problem. And I don't think I've ever read this card to anybody. The first part should sound very familiar. It's also written by David. Psalm 144:2. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, in whom I take refuge. And I went on to say, I see God in this passage as the parent I wanted, someone to run to. I see myself as a little child holding dearly onto his leg under his protection. I see myself curled up in his lap, sharing my heart. I see myself enjoying spending time with him. I see my teacher of life and love. I see my provider, caretaker, and protector. I see stability. Someone who may not fix the problem, but will listen and support and encourage. I see someone who is always there and wants the best for me. Ladies, remember, we are never alone. God is always with us. And he's always for us. We should praise him no matter what. Let's praise him. Let's pray with me. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your truth in this word. We thank you that we can trust you with our lives. We thank you for your loyal love. And we thank you that you're always with us. Father, help us to see you in the everyday. Help us to see your handiwork. Help us to acknowledge it. Help us to turn to you in praise. No matter the situation, hard, easy, good, bad, ugly. Father, help us to know that you are always with us. You are always for us. Father, help us to praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.